Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Mary Lopresti, owner of Veg Out, a vegan restaurant in Bethlehem close to City Hall, and I think the only entirely vegan restaurant in the region. So Mary, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So even though you have a relatively new location there close to City Hall, your Veg Out concept is not. You've been operating in the Lehigh Valley for a while, right?
Yeah, our one-year anniversary is coming up. So we've been doing that at Roasted. I've been subleasing from them and doing a little pop-up there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights only for dinner. But now I was ready to expand and grow my menu. And so now I have the new location and we'll be there more hours.
And it's a nice little cafe right across from City Hall on Church Street, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. The great location. I walk in there and look at the view of, you know, I could see the star, the Moravian Star up on the hill and the police station, the library, the community just walking around. It's so amazing. I love the new location.
Very, very walkable.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. Only like two blocks from Main Street. So
during the research for my interview, I saw that the estimates for the percentage of population here in the U.S. that's vegan kind of varies widely. I've read everything as low to 2% or as high as 6%. So what's kind of your observation overall and kind of what are you seeing in the Lehigh Valley in terms of the number of people who might be vegan or be open to something that's vegan?
So for me, I started at a very young age because I was very aware. My parents were very honest with me, like where my food came from, and I was able to make that connection to what I was eating, and I wasn't okay with that. So for me, you know, I became vegan so long ago before it was like popular. Now I would say within the last decade, it's like trending. It was trending for a little bit. And now I think because it's not just about the animal rights anymore and health conscious. It's about the environment, which is also very huge right now. So I think it's not trending anymore. It's within the past couple of years, it's here to stay. I think people being more aware of what the impact of factory farming does to the environment and your health. I just think, you know, it was trending for a little bit and now I think it's the right decision and people are becoming more aware of that and it's just growing insanely in the past couple of years. So I think it's here to stay.
I know even from a health or even a performance standpoint, I know, you know, there's a whole movement with performance athletes to go with a plant-based diet to enhance their athletic performance.
Yeah. There was just a new documentary that came out on Netflix and people are watching it. And it's, I think when, like we were saying, a lot of people aren't aware, but when athletes or famous people kind of endorse this lifestyle, it kind of opens up everyone's mind. People that would never think about doing this because they're so used to, oh, I ate what my parents ate and they cooked for me and that's just it. And they never thought outside of the box and what it did for their health or their environment. So now that more people are doing documentaries on this and normal, I'll do quote unquote, people are kind of sharing how you can live a sustainable life on a plant-based diet, I think people are kind of warming up to it a little bit easier.
I'm sure we could talk for 15 minutes about policy and philosophy, but let's talk about food.
Okay, I'm ready.
So what's your approach in terms of building a menu and the sort of things you want to make? Are there things specific to like vegetarian, vegan cuisine, or are you looking to kind of recreate things that
I'm recreating it. Yeah. It's what my favorite dish is. So I did grow up like vegetarian for the last almost 20 some years and then vegan the last like decade or so. But I still wanted to go out to eat and have nachos and pizzas and really good hearty salads and cheesesteaks and things like that. And they weren't available to me. So when I sat down and planned my menu, I was like, what are my favorite dishes? What will sell and be the most comforting food to other people and kind of bridge that gap? They can come in and get a burger that's very easy for them to order. They don't have to think about it. It tastes very similar to the taste that you're used to tasting. So it really, I'm just trying to bridge the gap of what people think vegan food is and comfort food and not having you be like, you don't have to think, oh, is there tofu? Is this that? I really just want to create like a very hearty, comforting menu.
So some are vegan interpretations of traditional foods, yes, but some might be something a little bit different, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. A little bit of both.
Now, with the items you've been serving at Roasted, what have been some of the more popular items, do you think?
The burger right now, I do like a barbecue ranch burger. So it's like the Impossible Burger with cheese. I make my own ranch dressing, barbecue sauce, onion ring, pickles, lettuce. So it's a very big, hearty sandwich, and people see that. And I mean, you eat with your eyes first. So that's what I'm trying to do, is make everything look very visually appealing. And again, bridge the gap, make it look like things that you're familiar with eating.
Now, do you have a formal culinary background in terms of going to culinary school or anything?
I do not. Just the fact that I'm Italian and I grew up in an Italian household. My
so
mom
genetics
cooked.
Is it?
Yes, that's what I say. It's in my blood. Like, I've just been born to cook and be in the kitchen.
When you're cooking from a vegan standpoint, what techniques or ingredients do you use to replicate the maybe the mouthfeel or the flavor of non-plant-based ingredients, you know, to offer richness without butter or cream or texture or heartiness without animal?
See, the great thing now is that there are substitutions. You don't have to go to anywhere except for like your local grocery store, Giant, Wegmans. They have a substitution for everything. They have a vegan butter. They have a vegan mayonnaise, cream cheese, cheese replacements. I mean, they have really everything. So it's very easy and simple for me to be able to replicate these flavors for you. And then obviously my background in just being Italian, I over-season, you know, garlic and onion, and that definitely helps enhance everything. But
now, to what extent are some of those items that are vegan maybe processed more than you might want to see? Because I know, you know, we're talking about the health benefits and,
right,
you know, one of the reasons people eat simply is to stay away from processed food. So yeah. I imagine there's some balance there that you try to achieve.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that if you're familiar with eating cheese, this is still a processed food, but it's going to be a healthier option for you. So even though the things that I'm using are processed, it doesn't contain the cholesterol or the fat or the dairy, which, you know, deteriorates your bone. So it's, yes, some of the things are processed, but for me, because it's a healthier option, I don't mind it so much, because I am trying to make things still very familiar to you, but in the plant-based form.
Now, are there some maybe magical ingredients that you look at? I know talking to people who embrace a vegan lifestyle, they talk about nutritional yeast for kind of get a cheese flavor, or nut milks or coconut milk, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I use all those things as well. And then I make my own seitan, which is also, it is a process of wheat gluten. It's a vital wheat gluten, but it's a great like meat alternative. So that will get you the heartiness, the chewiness, the texture, and then it's just a matter of seasoning that. So it's a very simple process that I make myself. So I feel comfortable.
And I remember the first time I had that, the texture is like chicken.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, you could do bacon, chicken, burger, sausage, pretty much any meat substitute with that and just flavor it.
And how are you sourcing your foods? I imagine you can get some things locally, but some just impossible.
Right. I mean, with the Impossible Burger, that I have to get in, you know, shipped in. But I try to keep as much local as I can. There's local like tofu around here, and there is some local. I'm doing my coffee will be locally roasted. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing as much as I can to keep it local. But yes, I will be outsourcing as well.
And what are some of your favorite items on the menu if you're going to sit down in your own restaurant and order something?
This is so hard for me because everything, like I said,
I'm
built
not
this
you get
menu.
Off of that.
Right. I'm a big fan of the cheesesteak and the Reuben, though. Mm-hmm. And those are both made with my seitan, my vital wheat gluten. And then the bread is also going to be locally sourced. It's from Anthony and Sons. So that's right across the bridge in New Jersey. I use their marble rye for the Reuben and their hoagie roll for my cheesesteak. So those, I'll say, if I have to pick anything, it'll be those two items are my favorite.
And I would assume, based on what you said earlier, that being vegan now or having a vegan restaurant is easier than it might have been 10 or 15 years ago in terms of the options that are available and the different sourcing that you have.
Yeah. And like I said, you can just go to any grocery store. Every ingredient that I find that I cook with, you can absolutely go to any local grocery store as well and pick up the same ingredients to make or try to replicate this stuff at your house as well. So much easier.
Now, considering that a lot of the world's religions either prohibit or curtail the use of either some or all animal products, I imagine that vegan cuisine has or can have ethnic and cultural influences as well, that you have Asian flavoring, Middle Eastern type thing. So
absolutely.
You know, talk about how that might influence what you might offer on the menu.
Yeah, not even just religious reasons, but now dietary restrictions like nut allergies, gluten allergies, soy allergies. So yes, it really, being vegan, I mean, I look at every ingredient that goes into the food, so I'm able to kosher. I mean, everything in my building is already kosher because there is no meat, there is no dairy. So I'm able to feed every type of person. And when people come in and they come up with this new, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, keto or this religion,
come on in. Right?
Yes. And
I've got you.
I love the challenge. And with all the ingredients that I already have on hand, I'm like, I'm more than happy to make you a custom dish at any time to be able to help feed your needs. So mm-hmm. I'm open and welcome to that.
So you mentioned the Impossible Burger, and just knowing from mass media, you see, there's the Impossible Whopper at Burger King.
Yes.
And I think I remember seeing Dunkin' Donuts has a sandwich with
the Beyond sausage.
Yeah, what extent is that making the idea of eating vegan or eating plant-based foods more accessible to everyone?
It's amazing. I mean, again, for me, I do try to stay away from like fast food, but I'm not going to lie, when you're out on the road and you're busy and being vegan, you're right, I can't just walk into any restaurant. It used to just be a salad and fries, then it grew to maybe like a black bean burger. But now to be able to get the taste that I like, again, that's why I'm turning veggie out into this. I want the burgers, I want the fries, I want all these sandwiches. So yes, on the run, it is great that now there are these options that you can just swing in within a few minutes, get a meal and be on the go. And you didn't have to sacrifice your morals, your beliefs, or even your taste buds. It's great.
And do you think that will ultimately help your business for people who are omnivores or vegetarians, not full vegan? They might walk by your place and think, there's something in there that I can eat.
Yes, absolutely. And I love the fact that I think the more vegan options, the better. I can't wait to see a more veganized world. So I love and support that these fast food chains that, again, I'll say normal people are used to just eating these foods that maybe they wouldn't be willing to come into Veg Out, but they're like, I'm at Burger King, I'm going to try this Impossible Burger. Once they try it and they're like, this is great, where else can I get this in different forms? And then they see, oh, Veg Out carries Beyond Sausage or this Impossible Burger. They're a little bit familiar with the taste of it. They already know they like it. It'll bring in like a more range of people, I think, as well into my establishment.
And they might not, turn their nose at it. They're saying,
I have this.
If they have an Impossible Burger, I can go in and get something that I want. So I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we're hungry.
Yeah. So I love that all these places are doing more vegan options. It only helps me.
I agree. Mary, thanks for joining us here at WDIY. Best of luck with Veg Out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.